Now, with regard to the audio you've got of Boyd Bushman, how long is it?
It's just about 2 minutes.
About 2 minutes. All right, let's go ahead and play it. I wish I had it and I could play it here, but you've got it, so we'll have to suffer along with that.
I
and I think it's going to work. Go ahead and play it.
Okay.
And possibly
because I knew you were coming, I again got called a friend of mine who was a Navy doctor during the same time period we're talking about. Slightly after that, and he all of a sudden was healing a pilot, a person that had been pilot. And he began to tell him a story, and he basically said, one day I was up in one of the faster airplanes that we had, and I had something that was a spherical object that was ahead of me. And I called back, and I said, are there any friendlies over here? He actually took off from a Texas location. Headed off that way, and
towards New Mexico.
And they said, well, no, there's no friendlies here. And said, not only that, but he's accelerating away from me, and yet I have the fastest airplane that's been designed.
And which at that time was.
And therefore, it can't be one of us.
Well, that was.
And he said, well, they said, well, you have the weapon on board. It was a new design.
Oh,
and he said, go on ahead and shoot it down. And so he did.
He shot down the Roswell craft. Do you know who did it?
He said, don't give the people my name, nor
and
give
you
them.
You know the
nor give, no, you certainly.
He shot it down.
He's a very dear, the doc.
Wait,
the,
what kind of a
the
weapon?
The doctor is a very dear friend of mine.
What kind of a
you got that?
I got it.
Oh, yeah, it goes on and on, and eventually it gets to the point where the pilot actually sees, and I guess in one of his flybys, he lands his plane, and one of the aliens is out running around somewhere, and the other aliens are actually in their custody or in their.
And he's saying he says all of this?
He says all of it. I mean, this is all in my new film, From Here to Andromeda, for people who want to see the whole thing. There's so much in this film, not only this. I mean, it's a four-hour film, which is really in four parts, like a series. And I go step by step with Boyd Bushman throughout the film, in one, you know, starting with disclosure, starting with where they took the Roswell craft. We go to another statement on, as he's holding up this document, and this is really significant for me because what he does next is he holds up this document very, very, you know, almost in a very humble way, and he doesn't spell it out for me. He holds it up, and, you know, my girlfriend videotapes the document, and I didn't really recognize what it was until I got home and I started editing. But on this document, which is posted on your website right now for people to see, it says Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, WAPF, and it's a photograph of a saucer that was first test flew in 1959 out of Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And it was nuclear-powered, had a ceiling of 62,000 feet and a range of 3,000 miles, and the contractor is Boeing Convair. Now, when Boyd holds this up, he says, I know the individual who put this together. He actually says that on camera.
And so this was nuclear-powered.
He actually shows me one step at a time how that nuclear reactor produces anti-gravity, because he does it on a small scale right in front of me, and then they use nuclear power to amplify that particular effect that cancels out gravity. And you think about this. This is 1959. I mean, Senator Barry Goldwater was denied access to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, the hangar where they were keeping the alien bodies in the craft by...
Yeah, I know. I've actually heard the audio of that. I presume you have as well.
Yeah, and Curtis LeMay, General Curtis LeMay,
that's
is
right.
The one who denies them access. So if senators can't even get in there, presidents haven't been able even to get access. And here's Boyd Bushman breaking history and confirming by holding up this document and personalizing it.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
What's that?
I'm looking at it right
now.
Yeah,
you're looking at it right now. I mean, that's it. That art is what it's the classic saucer shape. What I saw in 1968 in Berkeley, right off the hill from the Lawrence Berkeley National Lab, was a silver metallic saucer hovering there. And now I think when he's holding that thing up, I'm going, oh, my God, Boeing Convair. In fact, I even remember my friend and I, when we were looking at the saucer with this crowd of people on the street, pretending we could see USA written on it because we were Star Trek fans, and we thought, no, you can't see anything on there. The sun's just shining off of this shimmering steel. And now I'm looking at this diagram that is personalized. It has a person behind it who was verifying that, yes, this was at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, and this was the first test flights of the reverse-engineered saucer at Roswell, most likely, from 1959. And he just keeps going from there. It just gets deeper and deeper and deeper, the levels of disclosure. So we have a statement by Ben Rich, once again, the former head of Lockheed Skunk Works, who says there are two types of UFOs, ours and theirs. Now, that is very confirmed by Boyd Bushman. It's very
all right. And by the way, everybody, if you go to the website, not only can you see this diagram, but if you go down below that, there is a photograph of Boyd Bushman, who looks quite distinguished. And so that's the man, and that's the diagram. Think what you will. There it is. Diameter 40 feet, maximum speed, it's hard to read for me, Mach 1.2, is that correct?
Yeah, Mach 1.2 with a question mark.
Power plant, nuclear reactor, range 3,000 miles, crew of one, ceiling of 62,000 feet, first flight, was that 1959 in the USA?
1959.
Contractor Boeing Convair. Wow.
Yeah.
That certainly would explain a lot, wouldn't it?
It explains so much. And the next thing he does is, after he demonstrates anti-gravity and how he discovered it personally and reverse engineered it, he shows me this giant nuclear reactor that is a mock-up amplified version of his mini experiment that he does in front of me, with a huge crane being lowered into a classified aircraft. And if you, when I zoom in, and I do this in the film, I zoom in once again on the corner where all the data is on the document, and it says Convair. And that was in Texas, where that location, where that was actually being.
Is there any way at all, I know it's a silly question, to verify the authenticity of the document?
Well, I've tried my best to do that. There are no documents like this in existence anywhere in ufology. When I look at all of you know, through Ryan Wood's book, Majestic Eyes Only, all the documents they have, I've looked at numerous documents. In fact, there are other documents that are available that show kind of a disc shape jet engine or jet propulsion engine craft, but those are not nuclear powered. Now, if we consider even the idea of a nuclear reactor producing propulsion or lift, NASA doesn't use nuclear propulsion with the space shuttle. We only use it with certain satellites today. In fact, nuclear propulsion is something that didn't really, you're talking the 1950s here.
I wasn't even aware they were using nuclear power for propulsion per se. I know they use it for power, once something's in orbit on occasion, right, or in some deep space probes, we've certainly used it for power.
Yeah, we use it for power for what are called ion propulsion drives, and ion propulsion drives essentially electrostatically charge propellant mass fuel, very small amounts of it, to give it more thrust, so you get more power, you can go a lot faster. So we have satellites that can do 35 or 40,000 miles an hour, you know, right up there with meteorites, but we don't have anything to date that, you know, under the description of nuclear propulsion that, you know, starts on the ground and just goes lifting up in the air. I mean, that just doesn't exist.